Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Do you know a student getting ready to go to college? Or are you looking at going back to school yourself? The Woodward Hines Education Foundation and the Get to College program help more Mississippians get to and through college to get certificates and degrees that lead to meaningful employment. They offer free college planning advice, including hands-on FAFSA completion assistance through in-person or virtual appointments. Visit gettocollege.org to learn more.
Good morning. It's 8:30 on Friday, April 26th. I'm Desiree Frazier. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. On today's show, lawmakers are running out of time to expand Medicaid benefits to the working poor as a meeting between House and Senate negotiators falls through. But Mississippi Speaker of the House says he's still confident they can pass a bill. Plus, providers using new methods to reach underserved communities to provide health screenings. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. The clock is ticking for Mississippi lawmakers to come together and finalize a plan to expand Medicaid. Those efforts stalled on Thursday after Senate negotiators didn't show up for a second conference meeting. During that scheduled meeting, House Medicaid Chair Republican Missy McGee of Hattiesburg said she's disappointed her Senate counterparts didn't come.
I think we had a really good discussion 2 days ago that started the conversation between the Senate plan and the House plan. I really felt like we made some good progress, and that was a good conversation that we had on that day. I was hoping that we would be able to resume that today. We realized that we have the days are winding down, as we all know and are probably grateful for. But we know that we only have a few short days left, also with the time constraints with regard to filing bills and in the appropriate time before Shiny Die, the time is drawing near. So I was hoping that we would have that opportunity, but as you can see and as I can see, apparently the Senate conferees are not going to be able to make it today. So I'm disappointed in that. We know that this is a historic piece of legislation, possibly one of the biggest legislative priorities of the session. Both the leadership on both sides of this Capitol have said that this is a priority for them. So I'm hopeful that we will have more information to agree on a bill that we can present to the governor. And so I guess we'll just wait and see when we can resume that conversation. Again, hoping it was going to be today.
House lawmakers currently want to increase Medicaid benefits to people earning up to 138% of the federal poverty level. Senate lawmakers want it capped at 100%. And the Senate version of the bill requires the federal government grant a waiver for a work requirement. The House plan makes that waiver optional. As House lawmakers wait for the Senate to return to the table for more deliberations, House Republican Representative Sam Creekmore of New Albany says they remain ready.
Mississippi has been waiting a long time for this moment, and we're getting close. So it's disappointing that we're not continuing the conversations today. But I do want to say that over that past 3 months, while Medicaid's been going on in public health, we have been entertaining several people, many of whom are in this room, who come in and tell us how unhealthy Mississippi is, who come in and tell us how we don't have enough people to fund, to man the clinics or the hospitals. And then we have the hospital saying we're losing money every day. We can't sustain our hospitals in the Delta. And they're under a mandate to take care of these people. And here we have, whether we did not create this opportunity, it came to us from the federal government. And here we are, a chance to receive 90 cents on the dollar if we give 10 cents. And that's it. And I don't know of a business that would not take that. and yet we're going to turn that down. In the House side, we're not willing to turn that down. We want to help. And here's an opportunity to help all these people that have been in the Capitol over the past 3 months asking for help. The House of Representatives is listening.
After a separate committee meeting, Senate Medicaid Chair Republican Senator Kevin Blackwell of South Haven told reporters they're still working on a compromise bill but wouldn't provide details. Ahead, House Speaker Jason White shares his thoughts on efforts to expand Medicaid. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
MPB Think Radio, whatever your taste, news, music, storytelling, or how-to shows. Whatever your city, Natchez, Jackson, Tupelo, Cleveland. However you want, radio, smart speaker, smartphone app. MPB Think Radio.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. Although conversations between the House and Senate seem to be stalled at the moment, leadership in the House remains optimistic. House Speaker Jason White has pushed hard for Medicaid legislation this year. He began discussions that otherwise haven't happened since the Affordable Care Act was signed during the Obama administration. Speaker White talks with Gulf States Newsroom's Drew Hawkins and tells him he thinks the two chambers can come up with a compromise.
I'm optimistic, but a lot of my colleagues accuse me of being optimistic sometimes when maybe I shouldn't be. But I'm optimistic. You know, I've been in the legislature 12 years. This is my 13th session. And the Affordable Care Act has been the law of the land for our nation this entire time that I've been in office here in the Mississippi legislature. We've never had a bill make it out of committee, much less passed off of either chamber's floor. And this session alone, my first year speaker, we got a bill out of the House. We got a bill out of the Senate. And while the Senate's bill didn't go as far as I would like, I think it's real progress for our state. And so I'm encouraged by that. It would be easy to say, well, the Senate's still a long ways from where the House, where our position is. But I'm encouraged by the fact that we moved the ball a long ways in 1 year after being unwilling to consider it for 12 years. So I'm optimistic that we're going to get something done.
Yeah, you know, given that experience that you've got, I'm curious to get your insight into why you think it's been so difficult to find a workable way to expand Medicaid in the state. Why the pushback after all these years?
Well, we're a very red state. There are super majorities in both the Senate and the House here in the Mississippi legislature. And let's just be honest, some of it centers around the fact that folks look at free health insurance to folks, to able-bodied adults, as some form of welfare, some form of giveaway, some form of expanding government. And so my Republicans tend to recoil at that. And so they start from a place of less government is better. And this looks like we're growing government. What has finally moved the needle for us? We've always, I would say, had the support of the healthcare community and healthcare providers and hospitals and those type things, even faith-based groups. But what really moved the needle this year in this session specifically is our Republicans and myself included, we have good relationships with the business community. We like to consider ourselves pro-business, a right-to-work state, and a business-friendly state, less red tape, all the things that we tout our state as being, you know, in the new economy we all live in. We started receiving support from the Mississippi business community. The Mississippi Economic Council, which is considered our state's chamber of commerce, came out in favor of expansion. All of our business groups started writing letters to me and to the lieutenant governor in support of finding ways to close the gap and cover these low-income workers in Mississippi. And so once that started, that as much as anything emboldened my fellow Republicans to say, hey, this is about being smart. You know, you hear people talk about running the government like a business and things like that. So this is about being smart. And I kidded some of my fellow Republicans. I said, look, come for the savings, if you will, and then you can stay for the salvation and the good things that it does to improve people's lives. If you can't get there because it's the right or compassionate thing to do to help these individuals, get there because it makes sense from a business standpoint for the folks running our state legislature. And so people started, as those conversations kind of started happening organically and the business community got involved, I think that was has been the difference maker that you've seen so much progress this year in Mississippi.
Yeah, sort of building off that point and a point you made earlier about the uncompensated care really crushing hospital systems. Has that been something you've been seeing playing out in rural health systems? And do you feel expansion would help some of these rural systems that are struggling right now?
It definitely would. I mean, we hear directly from our hospital administrators and our hospital boards and all of my fellow representatives here in the House and certainly the senators on the other end of the building. They hear, you know, hospitals are usually one of the largest employers in the community, especially in a rural community. And so while it is an issue of life and death and quality of life, you know, to have a hospital, a well-staffed, well-run hospital in your community, not only is that about quality of life and health, it's also about economics and the business aspect, the economic aspect that hospitals and providers play in their communities. And when those people start calling or finding their representative or their senator and saying, look, it's time for y'all to do something. We've sat on the sideline too long. We have huge amounts of uncompensated care. We're very unhealthy. It's time for us to do the right thing, the smart thing. And one of the ways we can do it, this won't, and again, this won't solve every problem, as you know, healthcare and the delivery of it in our nation and certainly in rural areas, it's tough. It's a tough business. If everything is run perfectly, it's a tough business. But it is one more tool in the tool shed. It's one more piece of building, you know, a healthy healthcare economy to have to cut that uncompensated care as much as we can and have a healthier population.
Going back to work requirements for just a moment, because you mentioned, you know, putting that in the House version, if it's not approved, still going forward with it, dealing with it later. You know, some other states have implemented expansion without work requirements. Why is that such an important piece from your perspective?
Again, it's just this notion of an expansion of a free government program. We are covering something that people would tell you, detractors would tell you, for the first time, Medicaid was designed for folks, you know, disabled, pregnant moms, kids, blind, aged, you know, the things that Medicaid was designed for. And they would say, now you're getting outside of that and covering able-bodied adults who have no disability, who are simply don't make enough money to cover the healthcare. It's their own problem, Jason. They might say healthcare is not a right. They've got to get out and work, make more money, and find their own insurance. That's just a place that I think you're going to see a conservative state come from. But here was my argument to those people. 40 states have now expanded Medicaid. I believe 19 or 20 of those are Republican states that voted for Donald J. Trump. So of the 40 states that expanded, half of them are Republican red states. Now that 40 states are in it 10 years in, Congress is not going to undo or repeal the Affordable Care Act, regardless of who wins this year's presidential election, regardless of who takes control of the House or Senate. It's here with us, and it's going to be with us. And it's foolish for us to think, as being one of the poorest and most unhealthy states, that the feds are just going to undo a program that 40 states have availed themselves to, just to change it for us, to fit a specific way, because we don't like the Affordable Care Act. So it's time that we, for better or worse, it's the only thing that's out there and available to cover these low-income workers, these low-income, hardworking Mississippians, that we're trying to get them some basic regular health care. And so as we began to look at that and folks' minds began to change and the conversation kind of got advanced to the point of we were ready to move legislation, work requirements traditionally came up in those conversations because people were like, are we covering able-bodied adults who just sit at home and watch TV all day? And I'm like, no, this should be about covering these low-income workers. And we believe, certainly there may be some, you know, in any program, there may be some folks who game the system. But for the most part, that's who these people are. And our studies, and most studies show, 80 to 90% of these people that fall in this population are low-income workers that are somewhere in that 138 federal poverty level or lower, which is $20,000 for a single individual or $34,000 for a family of four, I believe. So you're not talking about a lot of money, and certainly there is no insurance product available to them that is very meaningful.
That was House Speaker Jason White talking with Drew Hawkins of the Gulf States Newsroom. Coming up, medical providers using new methods to reach underserved communities to provide health screenings. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
Thanks to our sustaining members who provide ongoing monthly financial support. You can become a sustainer too. Go to mpbonline.org and click donate now at the top of the page.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. Many areas in Mississippi are considered health deserts. Those are areas where patients don't have ready access to a doctor so they can have preventive care or be treated for minor illnesses. It's an issue that was spotlighted at the height of the pandemic. How can physicians go into these communities and have important health discussions? Well, this weekend, the Mississippi Department of Health is trying something new in Jackson, a gospel competition combined with a health fair. Victor Sutton is chief of community health and clinical services at the agency. He speaks with our Kobe Vance about what these events can do that traditional clinics cannot.
We're going to have over 40 vendors there doing screenings from blood pressure to blood sugar to vision, dental, bone density, HIV, syphilis, range of motion screenings, and just a host of other things as well. So it's just really a great opportunity to educate yourself about your health, your health status, and to get information on that. So we're really having that event to really focus on that effort.
How difficult is it to be able to reach some of these people otherwise without having these community events?
Oftentimes, and that's what's so unique about this event, is that we're having a gospel choir competition. And really, that's going to bring a lot of people out that normally wouldn't even get out, to be quite honest. We have over 8 or 9 churches that are participating. They're coming from all around the state, from Starkville to Oxford, to Jackson, Crystal Springs, and all in between. So it's really getting a really community event and bringing folks out.
This is not necessarily the only event y'all have been doing lately across Mississippi where y'all are directly engaging with communities. Can you tell us a little bit more about that initiative y'all are doing to try to, I guess, break into areas where are otherwise healthcare deserts or just underserved?
I think that's a great question. And so we have a number of initiatives and projects and opportunities that we have around the state. You know, we work with the faith-based community. We work with community coalitions and groups. We work with mayors, healthcare providers such as community health centers, with housing units. We work with barbershops. We work with anybody that we actually can partner with in our non-traditional partners, understanding that, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all. And so we have a number of different initiatives around the state really about promoting health, empowerment around your health, and education about your health. And so some of those opportunities deal with some of the social determinants, as you mentioned. We have churches that we work with that have created food pantries, deal with food insecurities around the state, especially around areas where there's food deserts. We work with other partners as it relates to new initiatives that we have with you need to come to the health department and don't have transportation. We have a program that will provide transportation to and from the health department. That's a barrier. Having safe places to exercise and to walk is sometimes a challenge in various communities.
What needs do these communities have in terms of health care?
Oh, man, you name it. You know, access is always a issue. Getting to and from places is always an issue. And so there's a lot of challenges there that everyone is trying to work on as well. Our space has been more around prevention. And so we try to work more upstream and trying to deal with issues that may be barriers, working with not only just health, but understanding that mental health is a big issue and linking those resources, working to put community health workers in place around the state so they can link individuals in the community to various resources that's available to them that they may or may not be aware of.
How effective have these events been so far? Have y'all been able to have conversations with patients they may have never gotten?
Yeah, I mean, there's very few places that you can go when you're visiting a doctor's appointment where you have the breadth of free screenings that you're going to have at these kind of events. And then what's so unique as well is that we're also going to have an extra doctor station where you can actually have some one-on-one time with doctors and healthcare professionals about any issue that may be arise in confidential conversations.
Now, a lot of this does sound very reminiscent of some of the drives y'all did for vaccines and COVID testing back during the pandemic. Is that where y'all got some of these ideas, or does this extend before the pandemic era?
So we've done some things prior to the pandemic era, but we also learned a whole lot in the pandemic era as well. You know, if there's a bad list to be on, Mississippi oftentimes are on the bad end of that list, depending on whether or not it's however you look at that particular list, whether it's worst first or is it very at the bottom. But COVID taught us that we did very well in working with getting vaccinations and some of those things in our particular state. And that wasn't just the health department. It was through all the partnerships that took place during that particular unfortunate piece of time, as we called it, COVID era. You know, we learned a lot in how to do some things different and how to be non-traditional and bring those different partners in and incorporate and help into other missions.
Victor Sutton is Chief of Community Health and Clinical Services at the State Department of Health. Ahead, how some Jewish people in the Gulf South are celebrating Passover this year as the war between Israel and Hamas rages on. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
Humor, stories, news, music. Our weekend lineup has it all. Tune in to enjoy the relaxed sound of the weekends on MPB Think Radio.
I'm Peter O'Dowd. Our series Reverse Course wraps up a look at transportation climate solutions. Perhaps you could ask yourself some questions that might clean up the global supply chain.
How do I get this product that comes to me magically to my doorstep? Let's unpack that. Let's think a little bit about, is this a need or is this a want?
Next time on Here and Now.
Today at noon on MPB Think Radio.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. It's Passover, and many Jewish people are using the holiday to protest the war in Gaza and call for a ceasefire between Hamas and Israel. More than 35,000 people have been killed in this conflict, the vast majority of them, about 34,000 Palestinians. Wednesday night in New Orleans, Jewish Voices for Peace convened people in the streets to condemn the violence and hold a Passover Seder.
May the Seder begin! Ashrei.
I'm Miriam Eisenstadt. My role is to participate in the Seder with JVP. I'm Jewish. Both of my parents are rabbis. Passover is a time, it's a holiday to resist against the status quo. It is to resist against the status quo of oppression and to fight for liberation.
There's no liberation without Palestinian liberation.
In other years, we would drink 4 cups of wine on Passover.
So we've changed that in the understanding that as Jews in our Jewish tradition, we have a mandate to repair the world, tikkun olam. That's one of our central virtues. And this is in line with our Jewish values.
Our Seder plates are empty.
So, for instance, we're not eating and drinking. That is to pay homage to the millions of Palestinians who are starving right now in Gaza.
Today, we do not feast while the people of Gaza are facing famine.
And in that way, we're also commemorating the Palestinians who have died throughout this genocide.
No more, no more, no more, we
That was Miriam Eisenstadt at a demonstration organized by Jewish Voices for Peace in New Orleans Wednesday. That piece was produced by Drew Hawkins of the Gulf States Newsroom. The Gulf States Newsroom is a partnership between Mississippi Public Broadcasting and public radio stations in Alabama and Louisiana. This has been Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.